Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
And hello, and welcome to this now third episode of the Business of Behavior podcast. I am your host, Dr. Becca Tagg. Today's actually sort of a special episode as it came up from the ABA Business Builders Facebook group about the topic of virtual assistants or VAs. And I listened to Joe Sanok's The Practice of the Practice podcast and his blog, or read his blog, listen to the podcast, and he had this episode about VAs. And it's a fairly simple idea, but it was really revolutionary for me. And now I can't imagine running my practice without them. While it's a simple idea, I think I couldn't come up with it because I was in the thick of it, right? It's one of those times when maybe our emotion has us so amygdalated. I know that's not a word, and yet it's one that I use a lot because I can't think of another word that is quite right. You know, our amygdala in our brain is in charge of so much of our emotion centers, and sometimes it gets activated and it prevents us from thinking clearly. If you think back to Dr. Dan Siegel, if you're familiar with his work about upstairs brain and downstairs brain, well, kind of being amygdalated is when your downstairs brain hijacks control and your upstairs brain, which is in charge of your thinking and reasoning, isn't flying the plane, so to speak. So in practice, we are typically paid for our time. And so either we get X number of hours per or X number of dollars per hour, and we're really having to think about our time in a way that is maybe new or different than how we looked at our time before. And so we need to be looking at our ROI or our return of investment for each investment, including our time. And so for me, there were things that I was doing that were taking up a lot of time, but not necessarily actively bringing in income or weren't providing very much ROI. And they were things that someone else could, in fact, do. I also admit and own that I held on to these tasks for a long time because I had trouble letting them go to someone else. And because even though I wasn't happy doing everything myself, that had kind of become my norm, and it was scary to make a change. Because typically I worry that the change is going to be worse than things are now, which is totally skewed and not rooted in fact, but rather feeling. And sometimes feelings aren't facts, even though they feel that way. And so it was just scary to make a change. And the way Joe Sanok talked about VAs really appealed to me in that he started with someone he knew. And so I started by reaching out on Facebook to my friends, as what was most important to me was a friendly, warm personality, because I really needed someone to answer phones. I read a statistic somewhere that had said the practice that answers the phone gets the patient. Right. And so because so many of us aren't able to answer phones if we don't have a full-time office person, and many of us don't when we're small or when we're doing in the field work, we may not have somebody manning an office. We may not even have an office. And so I needed someone to answer the phones and that didn't take me out of doing sessions, which I also needed to do to be continuing to bring in revenue. So again, I reached out. And that also made it easier to hand over some of my business baby, right, to someone, because I already had a relationship with them. If they were on my Facebook friends group, then I probably at least liked them a little bit, you know. So my first VA was a stay-at-home mom friend of mine. And it worked out great because she was able to work from home while staying with her children, and was able to answer phones. And then that eventually grew into her doing some other work for us. If for you that may feel too uncomfortable to bring in someone that you know, it might muddy the waters a bit, which it certainly could be true. There are sites like Upwork work.com, so UP, and then work, WORK.com. And they specialize in positions like this, as well as others like transcriptionist, graphic design, basically any type of freelance or contract working you can imagine. It's a phenomenal resource, even if you're not looking for a VA right now, but you're looking for some other ongoing work. It can be a great resource, because you literally can get the best in the world, because you can contract with someone in the Philippines or Hawaii or North Carolina or El Salvador, wherever a person might be. So a virtual assistant can really fall into different roles. And at the most sort of basic-ness, it's someone who is not usually working in person. So they're location independent. They assist you in running your business functions in the virtual world, so in the internet or the phone. And VAs typically fall into two categories. And one would be a project-based virtual assistant, and then the other would be a role-based virtual assistant. Role, like R-O-L-E, not like roll them down a hill, right? I guess if things didn't go well, maybe that's the type of virtual assistant you'd want or you'd have. So a project-based virtual assistant are typically hired for a specific project. It's more of a discrete task with a start and an end. So perhaps something like working on a website or making 6 token boards or transcribing your podcast. Or they might have a specific role, like an intake coordinator. And an intake coordinator might be someone who answers phones, returns general email questions. They may help with scheduling, answering potential client questions. And that's really the way I've utilized VAs. Some other tasks that people have used that I've talked to as consultants is coordinating travel plans for people who are doing a lot of speaking engagements, scheduling appointments, returning phone calls, and general voicemail management, like maybe checking into the voicemail 3 times a day if they're not available to be on call. Offer employee service and support. I mean, I think about how much time and energy I want to spend in connecting with my clients or potential clients. And I also want that much care and attention to be offered to employees. And while a VA or someone outside of our field may not be able to answer some of the questions a client might have or a potential client, some of the questions the employees have can easily be answered. Like, I locked myself out of my email address, can you reset it? Or I locked myself out of AccuPoint, can you help me out? I'm lost and the address of the home isn't showing up in GPS, can you help? And so I want to have someone who's always available for them, because I believe strongly that through supporting them, we are providing a higher quality service for our families, because the girls and guys are taken care of. Email support is something else that a VA could do, creating invoices, inputting payroll hours, so kind of tallying things up and entering them in. Any kind of data entry would also be great. There's a few sort of tips to help make things go as smoothly as possible, particularly when you're first hiring your VA. And it's all behavior stuff. This is stuff that you know, that we all know. And it's things that maybe we don't think about when we're applying outside of actually working with our kiddos. So you want to set clear goals and expectations for every work assignment. So this way they know exactly in a clear and concise view of what you're expecting for him or her to do. Setting those clear goals can also clear away any doubts for the assistant's part, because he or she knows what is expected. And if you think behavior analytically, when we give a task analysis, it helps a learner know exactly what they need to complete and all the necessary steps. It's really about setting them up for success. I have recorded training videos, so if we have a conversation on Skype, maybe I record it, maybe I do a screen share so they can return back to the video without asking me. I generally try to think about how can I be there, how can I make myself be there without actually being there, right? Because we're looking at that return of investment. Some people are going to need to learn things or be exposed to things multiple times, and I don't always have the time to do that, and I want to give them what they need, so recording myself is a way to do that. Have them create a checklist. So this is kind of like having them create their own workflow, because sometimes I remember when I first hired our first VA, and I told her what I wanted, but I had trouble operationally defining it because there was a lot of sort of automaticity in what I was doing. And so part of what she did was create a workflow of the steps of what she was doing, kind of like a checklist. This gave her more autonomy, so she wasn't having to ask me, but it also is now a document and a set of resources that I've used when we've brought on other VAs. So again, working myself out of the equation while still instilling what is most important to us at Del Mar Center for Behavioral Health. I also like using Google Documents. We can both contribute to it, and it's also a current training for future use. I know some people like the Trello app, T-R-E-L-L-O. I haven't used it as much, and I think that's because I tend to get in a rut and kind of keep using what works for me. Another option for VAs is, instead of hiring them straight on, consider doing a trial period, maybe 30 to 60 days. And this can be a preliminary period to test if you're a good fit for each other. You can always fire someone later, but that can sometimes be pretty uncomfortable. And so if you set up a trial period, both parties know that the end of the period may not result in employment. One of the VAs that we hired to assist with some phone work, and then also just some sort of odds and ends helping, it turned out it wasn't a good fit for her. Our phone was ringing during times when, she was picking her kids up from school, and then she was beating herself up that she wasn't able to pick up the phone and felt like she was personally letting me down. So sometimes it's that the VA in practice thinks that this sounds like a good idea and a good fit, but then in actuality it isn't. And at the end of the trial period, it's a nice time for either or both people to sort of decide that this isn't working, or even working like they had thought. So trust is everything. And I think that it kind of goes with life, right? And working with a virtual assistant can be difficult for people. Often we as business owners have a hard time letting go. And I was, and am, being completely honest, I will say that, my challenge is that the VA or anyone isn't going to do things exactly like I would. And sometimes I can be a bit cognitively rigid in that it has to be done this way to be right. And when my husband and I started dating 7 or 8 years ago, he was wonderful and would try to help out by loading the dishwasher. And in my mind, cups go on the top and plates and bowls go on the bottom, and everybody knows that. And he would put bowls on the top and there'd be cups on the bottom, and it would drive me bonkers. And I realized kind of the parallel process of that silly example, but that does show sort of my personality traits, some neuroticism. And that's one of my personal challenges, something I work on. So now I am able to except that he loads the dishwasher different than I do, but the result is the dishes are clean, and even better, I don't have to do it. And so it's actually been a really good exercise for me to be able to let things go, period, whether we're talking about clean dishes or who's answering the phone or a variety of different tasks. So it can be hard to see someone else working on a project that we're really passionate about, you know, talking about the VAs answering our phone and you know, creating and running a business is really a labor of love. I think it's like having a child. And it can be difficult to see another person sort of take over a piece of that, because even when we are mad at that child or we are upset about the way things are going, it's still ours. So some people may become worried that their assistant may not be able to work on the project on time or properly. And so people get afraid that the finished output isn't exactly what they want. And so maybe they start pestering their assistants about what they're doing and if they're doing it right. And hello, micromanaging. And I can say that because I've done it. And I had this sort of out of mind experience when I was like, Becca, you have just texted her 3 times to check on the status of this. You might as well do it yourself, or you need to completely let go and let her do it, because this in the middle, in between, she's not able to work effectively and you're spending money and still not getting the time and the peace that you wanted, which is what made me reach out in the first place. So it hurt our relationship, and she actually chose not to stay on with us. And I don't blame her. I own that. And it was a valuable lesson for me to learn. So it hurts your relationship with the VA, but it also, again, it doesn't free you up to do the other things. So it becomes a waste of resources instead of a way to more efficiently manage your resources. Guidance and tasks is very important, but constant prodding to do the work may be annoying and can cause your VA to lose confidence in their work. And you, as the employer, hired them in the first place because they have the right skills and qualifications you need. And so maybe taking a moment to pause and reflect on why are you not trusting them now. For me, in the situation that I shared when I was being a less than stellar boss, I had other things in the business that were kind of happening outside of my control. And in hindsight, I think looking back, trying to take control of this project, I was just looking to control something because everything else was sort of a tornado or a hurricane. And so I really, I could have done that a lot differently. And now I'm more aware of what my motivations are and what I need to do. So positive reinforcement helps. We are in the business of behavior, so this is an obvious one. I'll often give bonuses for going above and beyond, and I may give an incentive for being done early. So when I have Melissa work on a specific task, I may say the rate is $75 for that task and a $30 bonus if she's completed by X date, which might be 3 or 4 or 7 days early. Many people are good in giving out criticisms to different works. You know, we point out the negatives, but that fails to notice all the good points. And sometimes we do that. Our noble intention is that we want things to be better the next time and how they can improve. And we want to be mindful that we should have, multiple positive praise interactions to every error correction. And so again, pointing out the positive can help strengthen that relationship. And even things like taking personal interest in a VA will help to build connection because they are an employee. They're part of your business. And we are in the business of behavior. And so we want to be applying that to the people with whom we employ. And we also want to be building that strong structure. So asking them what they're into, what's their family like. We actually have our VAs complete the same interest inventory and values questionnaire that our other staff complete. I typically look to hire, to like have a pool of VAs that I can call on for different projects. So we have two that answer phones and one that helps with all of our onboarding. And then I pretty much use the same graphic designer for different things as well. So I want to continue to foster those relationships so that they are always available in the pool when I need something. Of course, according to our BFF, BF Skinner, positive reinforcement is important as it reinforces good behavior or desired behavior and keeps a person motivated to do it again. And the converse is pointing out all the negative points may cause your VA to lose focus and dedication to do his or her work. And many of us who have struck out on our own may have done so because of a lack of positive reinforcement in other settings. I know that was a big part of why I decided to open my own practice. And so this is one of those areas where we want to keep our eye on our true north or to be sure that we are purposefully crafting the business culture that we set out to. Something that may seem obvious is to pay on time. Monetary reward is a form of positive reinforcement. And to you, it might be a small delegation of tasks to your assistants, but to them, it's their job and it's what's providing for their daily needs. And so always pay on time based on whatever was discussed beforehand or set expectation if ever there are delays. Let them know if something comes up and is happening. Do not keep them waiting. People often ask, how much should you pay? And I think this is relevant for VAs as well as a variety of other positions. And I like to think of that old sort of saying that you get what you pay for. And there are some things that you can cut corners on and there are some things you can't. I mean, you can't. My mom used to say that education and surgeries were two things that you never wanted to go for, like the bargain bin. You never wanted to kind of go for the bottom baseline. And I would say that somebody who's going to be the face or the voice of your business is also somebody that you don't want to go kind of baseline for. So for things like somebody answering the phone, responding to emails, who's interfacing with our clients and my employees, I pay higher than someone who is doing data entry. So it's crucial to consider your budget as well. How much can you realistically pay someone to do the service? In preparing for this podcast, I did a Google search or a cursory search that the median rate for virtual assistants today, so end of January, is $16.06 per hour, and the range is anywhere from $10 to $30. So again, today we talked on the Business of Behavior podcast about working with virtual assistants and how it can really enhance your practice by removing some things from your plate that may free you up to follow other new areas that you want to expand and grow that may need your clinical expertise. We talked about virtual assistants falling into two different roles, project-based virtual assistants and role-based virtual assistants. We talked about being able to utilize a resource like Upwork.com or reaching out to people you already know and asking for referrals. We talked about using a trial period to help make sure someone is a good fit while also leaving an exit strategy open if it was needed. Trusting our VAs to do what we hired them to do. Talked about the importance of positive reinforcement, which I think we could probably talk about during every podcast, both reinforcing others as well as ourselves. The importance of paying on time is also key. So again, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen and join in on this episode of the Business of the Business of Behavior podcast. Again, I'm Dr. Becca Tagg, and I've been really excited to share the things that I've learned from other great entrepreneurs as well as from each of you. And a note that our registration for the Business Bootcamp in North Carolina is officially live. You can go on to the Eventbrite link that I have posted in our ABA Business Builders Facebook group. We are capping the registration to a lower number so that it's more of an intimate setting like a mastermind class, and so that everybody's really getting actionable steps. And I am super excited to announce that Manny Rodriguez has graciously helped us be able to secure a OBM applied exclamation mark volume one for every attendee, along with we've been working on putting together some other giveaways and surprises. So I look forward to seeing you guys online in the Facebook group and talking to you next time. Have a great rest of your day.